as a teenager, I wasn't really a very picky eater. But every once in a while, Mom would try a new recipe, and being a typical kid, I'd look at it suspiciously and say, "What is this?" And Mom would say, "Just try it before you decide you don't like it." And then she'd be sure to add some advice like, "But don't ever ask that question if you're eating at someone else's house. It's not polite." Turns out, though, I was actually in very good biblical company when I asked, "What is this?" Before this morning's reading from John, we hear Jesus and the crowds discussing the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. Do you remember how that story goes? As the Israelites wander in the wilderness, they begin to long for the good old days in Egypt, that land of plenty. After searching for 3 days for potable water, they found a nasty-tasting spring, and they go further and further and still can't find food. Finally, though, God provides them with this mysterious flaky substance that sticks to the morning ground. And like a picky teenager, they ask, "What is this? Is it edible? Doesn't taste like chicken if you ask us." Well, that mystery meal is called manna. Does anyone here know what the literal translation of the word manna is? I just learned it yesterday. Ah, you do. Right, exactly. Manna comes from the Hebrew word manha, which literally means, "What is it?" Manna means, "What is this?" Who'd have thought? This morning, we are reminded that manna was sufficient to feed people's physical hunger, but was not sufficient for eternal life. It was just food, period. And this morning, Jesus redirects them to another kind of food, the bread of life. "I am the living bread come down from heaven," he says. "The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." My flesh. Surely Jesus didn't mean for us to take that literally, did he? And the Jews in this morning's reading are asking the very same question. But Jesus drives this point home by repeating it not once, not twice, but 5 more times. Just take a look at that story in your bulletin. Jesus said to them, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life." That's once. "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life." Twice. "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." 3 times. "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me." That's 4. "So whoever eats me will live because of me." 5 times he says it. What are we supposed to do with that? Now, if you ask me, and if we were to ask the Jews in today's story, this sounds distinctly offensive, like cannibalism. New Testament scholar Audrey West tells a story about a group of Pacific Islanders who provide home health care in her community. And one of these islanders, Samuel, likes to bring food whenever he visits. So he brings cabbages and potatoes and apples and bread. Lots of bread. So very much bread. There's not even enough room for it all. So they put it in the freezer. One day, Audrey and Samuel got off on the topic of food. Samuel tells her that he comes from a long line of chiefs on his home island. And he goes on to say this, "My great-great-grandfather was a cannibal. They say he ate more than 900 men, and it made him strong and powerful." Now, as Audrey masks her horror, Samuel adds, and he buried some of the bodies under his house. You can read all about it at the museum. And Jesus says, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. When we think of the power ascribed to Samuel's great-great-grandfather, the power of more than 900 men, and we picture in our minds the remains of their bodies supporting that island home, we realize that the 2,000 years since Jesus said these words have pretty much buffered and sheltered us from the horror of the words he uses today. Why would Jesus speak so graphically about himself? Any answers? Perhaps, just maybe, shock is necessary to drag our appetites away from the cultural drive to conquer and consume. We are driven toward things that do not necessarily always bring life. Perhaps it takes just a bit of shock value and horror to turn us toward the type of consumption that does bring life. Paul Strobel suggests that we are often content to eat mere manna, the stuff called, what is this, rather than the living bread. Now, both are God-given, but manna does not nourish indefinitely. And Strobel goes on to apply this to congregational life. He says, manna, that's the preaching style or the pastoral care style of a certain pastor you love. But what do you do when a different pastor comes along with a different style? Manna is the program ministry or the music ministry of your congregation, but sometimes a source of disagreement. Manna is that small group to which you're attached, but what about when people move away and all of the magic goes with them? Manna is the congregation you love, he writes, that you would rather never change. But what if a crisis in your congregation brings out the very worst in the people that you trusted as a spiritual model? He concludes, our walk with Christ can be hampered, even ruined, when we allow impermanent aspects of church life to define our whole spiritual journey. Christ's living bread, on the other hand, is constant. It adapts to all of these changing circumstances. Christ feeds us anywhere, anytime, and accompanies us through all of the changes of life. When we receive Christ's sustenance, we find hope in the most difficult of situations. Amid serious problems, we find solutions that hadn't been there before. And most importantly, through Christ's bread, we find the peace which allows us to perceive God's grace rather than to become stuck and embittered in our unhappiness and our preconceived notions of what the good life really is. Early in John's Gospel, Jesus asks, "What are you seeking?" That question invites a response from each of us today. What are you hungry for? Deep inside the hungry places of your heart, where hundreds of likes on your Facebook post or a new boat or a new home or money in your 401k can't touch, what is it that you really deeply seek? What is it that really feeds you? This morning is an invitation to answer that question. Come to the table and see the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. Come and see a life that is more about quality than quantity. Jesus says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. find the answers to life's hardest questions in this. Consume the fullness of God so that it may abide in you. Because after all, we are what we eat. Amen.